Welcome, everybody. This is our fifth episode of Three Dudes News, and we're back out on the porch again, thankfully, with no tequila. We're all sober and no guests. So we're going to do everything pretty much like we did the first three episodes. Basically, just give you the news and laugh about it. I'm here as usual with Philip and Josh.
Hello, everybody. What up?
And it's kind of chilly out here.
It's starting to get cold pretty quickly.
But it's not like the first time. We kind of got used to it now.
Right.
It wasn't like 90 the day before and like...
Yeah.
Oh, it is really cold.
And I am no longer sick.
Fantastic.
I'm still trying to get rid of, you know,
the junk.
Coughing and the congestion, but...
You sound quite a bit less like ass.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel a lot less like ass.
Awesome. That's fantastic.
Do we want to get started?
Sure, yes.
Let's go ahead.
I think I'll head it off.
All right, sure.
Let's see. We have a local news story. This is from Memphis. It is about pants being so low that your underwear and arse is showing.
Your arse.
Yes.
Could you spell that to our non-Irish audience, please?
That is an A with an R, an S, and an E.
Okay, fantastic.
That means your butt.
That means...
Exactly.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're all clear.
Right. So, these two teens were going down the street to this candy shop. Personally, I don't know of any candy shops in Memphis.
But especially in the ghetto.
It's the candy lady, actually.
Candy lady, okay.
Yeah, there are lots of candy ladies in the ghetto. It's just basically somebody who goes to Sam's and gets... boxes of candy.
And tries to make money off of them.
Right.
Off of little kids.
Sells it to the kids. Well, they don't necessarily try to make... I mean, they're just trying to give them a safe place to get some candy.
Yeah.
Yes, it's
okay.
Candy. Well, anyway, these teens, 17 and 16, are walking down the street in front of this guy's house. This guy's fairly old. He's like 45, right? And...
What's his name?
Kenneth Bonds. And, well, as they walk past his house, their pants were so low... It irritated him pretty bad. He mentioned it, pull up your pants.
Okay.
And eventually, you know, the kids just didn't appreciate what he was saying. They didn't like it, and they did yell some obscenities to him.
All right.
And then they
went about their way. Currently, we have an argument.
Yes, an argument. Nothing real dangerous yet.
So, Bonds wanted them to pull their pants up?
Exactly.
Okay. And then the kids, I'm guessing, did not want to pull their pants up.
Of course. That's exactly it.
Okay. So, thus, argument.
Right. So, they went to the candy lady, came back, and this time, Bonds had a gun.
Uh-oh.
And he shot at them and happened to hit one of them in the thigh or the behind.
Okay. So, so he opens fire, and the kids start running.
Exactly.
Right. And he keeps on firing... And hits one of them.
Right.
Fired several shots and hit the 17-year-old in the buttocks, and the bullet entered or exited through his thigh.
Okay.
Yep. Now, the kid survived, no problem. But the issue here is the pants being so low, right, and people taking action, you know, trying to rectify the pants being so low issue.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I think if you're going to wear your pants that low, you look like an idiot, and you definitely can't do any real harm because you can't run anywhere.
Yeah, that's probably why they got shot.
Yeah. And
they couldn't get away.
Right, couldn't run fast enough.
Yeah. So it's a good thing in some ways, but it looks stupid on people, and it gives you a bad image.
Yeah. So was this guy charged?
Yes, he was taken in and charged for shooting him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they should, you know, put forth all the strength of the law against this guy.
And
I mean, he shouldn't have shot him. With that being said, you know, there are a lot of kids, mainly in, you know, the urban areas, especially in Memphis, that like to sag the pants.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't look good. I mean, they constantly have to grab them and pull them up, make sure they're not falling down. But, I mean, I don't think that this dude should have shot him.
Yeah, shooting him is a bit extreme, especially with a a live ammo weapon.
Yeah.
Maybe something like a paintball gun.
You know, that, okay, yeah, that would have made for a more interesting story. Where,
pop, 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 ah!
I mean, I'm sure the guy still would have been charged with some form of assault or something.
Yeah.
Because it's still...
I mean, what if you would have killed one of the kids or both the kids?
That would have been bad. I mean, that would have been horrible if you think about it. Because that would cause him to actually face murder and manslaughter and
yeah,
whatnot. So.
Yeah. And that's,
just for pants.
That's not necessarily the message that the guy really wants to get out there.
No.
It doesn't bode well for
him. Well, I mean,
message.
This doesn't send a good message either, you know, with fire on the kids. You know, if he wanted the kids to pull up their pants, you know, he should have maybe approached them in a more positive way.
Something more mature?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey, man, you know, you really kind of look shitty with your pants hanging around your ass. You know, you'd probably look a lot better and less like a thug if you had your pants pulled up.
Yeah. So, okay. So we all think that the pants being on down around your knees is stupid, is bad, right?
Right.
And it's such a problem here that we have rules okay, in the malls that you...
All right. With that being said, what could you do to combat this?
Well, I think it's partially a cultural thing, because if you look at who you're being influenced by,
yeah,
by in the media and everything, they tend to have the pants low.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you want to imitate them.
Sure.
A lot
I
of
mean,
times,
that's so. With a lot of things.
Yeah, that's pretty much with everything as you're growing up.
Yeah.
So in this situation, they were imitating what they believe would be cool based on what they saw in entertainment.
Or other peers of theirs, of course.
I mean, we have taken considerable steps, I think, in this direction, because, you know, a lot of the schools in Memphis, I think all of them, require you to wear uniforms.
Right, and as a teen, you don't want to follow authority. That's a natural
no,
thing,
yeah.
So you're trying to rebel by doing this.
But I think the uniforms is a step in the right direction,
right,
because these kids can't wear their baggy pants at school.
But you force them to wear straight up, you know, nice looking preppy clothes all day at school, they're like a million times more likely when they leave
I see
school
your point.
To do yeah, what they want to do and have their pants.
Well, so what can we
same,
do?
Well, if you show them how you could look better by wearing proper clothes,
yeah,
and wearing them properly, then they might actually go with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily sure that it'll look thing really though. It seems more like a social stature type thing. It's like saying, hey, you know, look at the kind of person that I am to dress this way. You know what I'm saying?
And what I respond is that you look like an idiot.
Yeah, but he doesn't think that.
Right.
Of course.
He thinks he looks cool because he looks like the rest of the people that are doing that.
Right.
And I mean, it's not only just kids, you know.
It's everybody.
A lot of the urban population does this, and you're right, it's fueled by the media.
So, get down to it, you should fix it at the source.
So no baggy, saggy pants in the media.
Well, see, I don't see how you would be able to do that.
Well, that would involve the actual producers of said media entertainment, and you have to change their minds on how they want
to
train
themselves.
Well, I
mean, they're just looking for a buck.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily going to happen. You're not going to change their minds because this is what everybody likes already.
Yeah.
So right.
You have to completely turn the ship around.
I mean, this is you know, a hard subject to try to prevent. You know, it's not something that you can just say, hey, we want you to pull your pants up, and there be a substantial response.
Well, even the president himself has come out and said, you know, you guys look pretty stupid with your pants hanging around your ass. You know, it'd probably be pretty cool.
And see, I see that as another step in
right,
trying to turn this thing around
right,
in a positive way.
Right, right.
Instead of saying, okay, if we drive down the street, us being cops, and we see you with saggy pants, we're going to shoot you.
Yeah, that's a bit extreme.
That
does bring up an interesting point. If I was a police officer and I had to apprehend somebody, I don't think I would be laughing really hard if somebody actually happened to have their pants fall down.
Well, it happened. I've seen it on cops
I
before.
Know. But it's,
you know? Especially when they get the taser out and they get to shaking. That
oh,
really
right,
drops the draws.
Well, you know, we have had some legislation actually try to come through in Memphis saying that you could be fined
yeah,
if your pants are hanging down a certain distance,
yeah,
I'm sure.
But I mean, how are you going to enforce that?
Well, you see someone with their pants hanging around their ass, and you write them a ticket.
Yeah, I just don't think that's the right way.
Public
to go about
indecency.
It.
Well, they're not going to pay it anyways. I mean, that's what. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times we get tickets, we don't pay the tickets, we go to jail. You know, all that stuff over and over.
I mean, can this be spent in a different way? Like, say a person wearing a rebel flag on their T-shirt. You know, is that kind of the same thing? You know, because it's a cultural thing,
right?
You know, for them to wear something that represents the South or slavery or whatever they want it to represent. I mean, could that be kind of looked upon the same?
Well, the pants aren't as much offensive as the flag would be. That's my spin on it. I'm not exactly too sure. It's a personal preference.
I got a better example. Say, you're walking through the mall, and there's a 350-pound woman wearing a miniskirt and a tube top. You know, that's
right.
To me is more disturbing than seeing some dude's boxers hanging out from underneath the back of his T-shirt. Are you going to enforce it the same way? I mean, the reason why I bring this up is because it's in America you're supposed to be able to be free and do what you want and wear what you want and say what you want. So why can't you wear your pants down?
Right.
By your ankles.
Unless, you know, you're able to do what you want whenever you want, you know, however you want and all those things, as long as you're not disallowing someone else the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're impinging on someone else's freedoms, then they kind of cancel each other out. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I do something that takes away some of your freedom, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Right? So, is there a way that this is seen as... I mean, yes, of course, there are people out there. Yeah, it hurts my eyes. It gets on my nerves. It looks bad for our culture. But is that necessarily impinging on someone else's freedom?
No, it's not.
Of course not.
So you can't enforce something like this?
Not based on the Constitution.
Yeah.
So we're saying it'd be unconstitutional to have a law that says you can be taken
I think
for
so.
Your pants down.
I think
at least
so.
At this moment.
As much as I don't agree with people wearing their clothes like this, but I mean I don't agree with, you know, a fat woman wearing a miniskirt and a tube top either.
Right.
And you're not just going to run
but
up
I'm
and
not
say,
gonna
hey,
run
fat
up there.
Ass, don't wear that.
I'm not going to run up to her and get in an argument and shoot her.
harpoon.
Well, I'm not gonna confront her, or even step, you know, in the direction of physically letting someone else know that I don't like that. I mean, it's kind of rude.
Physically letting somebody else know you don't like it—that's kind of hard to do in some situations, because it could be so disgusting that you quince and like,
yeah.
That face was awesome.
So, I think that this is unconstitutional if they try to enforce this.
Well, you could do a local ordinance and, like, at certain times of day, you can't wear pants a certain way. Because they do the same thing with volume levels, because it's just annoying to everybody.
Yeah. I don't know.
One group's visual freedom is more important than another group's clothing freedom.
What?
I have no fucking clue. What I just...
That was almost profound, actually.
It could have been. It was like a Confucius moment.
All right, so I think we should move on.
Yeah. Let's see.
But this is a good topic to discuss.
It's very broad. It can go many different ways.
Yeah.
So.
Well.
Yeah.
Just me getting my final say out there, I think the guy was wrong for shooting him. I think that he should have approached it differently, and I think the law should be put down upon him, and which they have done.
Yeah.
And maybe this will teach the kids a lesson.
Yeah, it might actually change their point of view on clothing.
Yeah.
Stop looking thuggish.
All right, so I'm next?
You are, sir. You are next.
All right. I got a story from BBC News. The headline reads, "Man jailed over computer password refusal." Basically, this kid was arrested in May of 2009 by the police tackling child sexual exploitation. The police seized his computer and could not access the material on it because it had a 50-character encryption password. He was formally asked to disclose the password but failed to do so, which is an offense under regulation of Investigatory Powers Act of 2000, police said. So, they could not and still cannot get into this guy's computer.
Right. But he can be jailed for not giving out his password.
Can he? Well, I mean, this is in the UK.
Yeah, this is in the UK, and that piece of law right there,
yeah,
which recently came in, actually states that if you do not provide a password to your encrypted data, they can hold you in jail for a period of time.
Okay.
And this is because in the past they've had a whole bunch of computer systems
mm-hmm.
that were encrypted that they could never access because people weren't giving out the passwords and they couldn't crack it.
Can they hold you until you give them the password?
They thought about that, and they found that you couldn't quite do that because that wouldn't actually be take away certain rights of the person.
So he's going to be out, and he doesn't have to give them the password, right?
Right, but they could find some other ways to keep him in there.
So, okay, with both of y'all knowing more about computers than I do, how hard is it to set up encryption password that the police can't even crack?
Not really too hard.
It really isn't, especially one that's 50 characters
50
long.
Characters is huge.
I mean, he knows what he's doing, using 50 characters.
That would take, I'm going to just throw this number out there, probably the end of time to crack right now.
Really?
They started tomorrow. It'll take the end
even
of the
with
earth.
Like, I'm sure there's like encryption programs that are made to decipher this kind of stuff, right?
Well, they are, but they have to decipher all 50 characters at once.
Yeah, and they have to go over and over and over again. They can only do one at a time.
So it's not so much the encryption, it's the sheer mass of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be both. It depends on what types of characters he used and if there are common words or phrases inside of there.
That's information you have to get from
random.
Him.
Right.
So you have to know a lot about the person to do that.
I mean, you could probably put it on a supercomputer or something, or with cloud distributed computing, you could probably have it done in maybe like 20 years or so.
No, if you use all the internet, it'll still take forever.
You really think so?
Yes, it's 50 characters. It takes It took a series of computers, like 200 or so computers, all right, to crack, to actually factor a 60-digit number about 3 years just to do that. That's just factoring a digit number.
Wow.
All right. This right here, you're trying to figure out a password. That's 50 characters long, and you have to go through every single possible character it could be.
It can consist of any of the 26 letters of the alphabet, any of the digits 1 through 0, and all of the special characters that are available on a keyboard.
So. Wow.
And that it could possibly be non-English. So it could just be a completely different language.
It could be nothing.
It could just be random.
Well, I'm saying the characters that he's using may not be English, Latin characters.
Okay,
he could be using Chinese characters throughout the whole thing. And that just makes it even more difficult.
So,
using like control keyboard codes.
Do you think the police did the right thing?
The right thing?
Instance?
If they had enough information, enough evidence to say that he was involved in this child exploitation thing, then yes. But if not, and they just held him because they suspect that he's involved with it, just because of hearsay.
Well, I imagine they were trying to get their evidence from the computer.
Well, my assumption is that they're trying to get harder evidence from the computer.
Yeah.
But if
they had previous evidence, obviously, to arrest him.
Right. That's if they actually is, actual good evidence.
Yeah.
Just to, bring him in.
There has to be something.
Yeah, I'm sure there's something, but not actually knowing the full extent of this case. It's hard to say exactly if they were in the right
or
the wrong.
I do like how they did not convict him of the sexual exploitation. They convicted him of failing to disclose the encryption key.
Right, because that's how they can actually hold him in. They can't hold him for the exploitation because they don't really know.
Yes.
But they can hold him for the not providing the key.
Yes.
Because that is in law now. And
okay.
I think this is a... From my standpoint, this is a privacy issue because I have encrypted systems, and if I don't want to give the key out, I shouldn't have to give the key out.
But you're not expected of child sexual exploitation either.
No. But I'm saying if the police being wanted to bring somebody in and they can give you some trumped up charges for anything, say like, I don't know, shooting a man and causing, you know, having torturing him or something, and you have video of it.
Yeah.
And you have no involvement with that whatsoever. That's all on an encrypted system, and they want to bring you in for that, and they want the password for it. That's just not right.
It's not right for what?
For trying to force a password from somebody that...
Even though that they did something wrong?
No, under suspicion that they did something wrong without proper, strong evidence.
Okay.
But once again, you don't know what evidence they have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can assume both sides of it.
Well, Philip, what do you think?
It would be nice to know what else is out there on this guy.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they can do, scanning for pieces and partial files and find some other evidence. Mm. He has to have left something, I'm sure. Well, maybe not, because 50 characters is holy crap.
I mean, maybe, they found, maybe some traces of, internet activity.
That's a possibility. They could do that. And if they
could they bring upon a conviction based on that?
Not necessarily for him, because it could be somebody else that is using his system.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense.
But that would be strong enough evidence to actually seize computer equipment.
Yeah, but that does them no good in this instance because it's encrypted massively.
I think he's obviously hiding something. I mean, it most likely pertains to the case. Otherwise, he would have given them the password.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't give anybody a password to my system regardless, and I don't hide anything. So.
Well, even if you were scot-free and they accused you
of
killing...
Yeah, because it's my personal information. I don't...
Really?
I don't hand out my personal information very much.
Hmm.
My principles.
To clear yourself from a crime that you did not commit, you would not give over a password for an encrypted file that proves that you did not commit the crime.
As a last resort, yes.
This is a last resort.
This may not be a last resort.
He's in jail. That is a last resort.
He's in jail because he didn't give up the password.
He's in jail because...
Well, you would be in jail because you didn't give up the password either.
Right.
So, would you take it that far?
I would take it that far.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Like if I was, let's say I'm not put in this boy's situation, I was convicted of, kidnapping someone and recording it, like a Saw type deal. And I did nothing about it, but I had, encryption on my computer. I would absolutely tell the police my password to prove myself innocent. That way you don't have to go through all the court battles and money for lawyers and all this, rigmarole for basically nothing.
Yeah, please poke around. Please look into my shit.
Because I have faith in the police department and the federal government that they won't take that information and use it. I mean, I have nothing that they could use.
Right. Well, past history from the NSA, FBI, CIA, they do use personal information from other people. There has been cases of people's identities being used for agents and actually screwing up, financial data and everything.
Okay.
So...
Any of that information they already have access to.
Well, that information, yes.
So, you're not proving a point.
No, I'm saying the trust of, you know.
You're saying the trust of the government is bad.
Giving them too much power is not a good thing.
Okay, I don't disagree with that fact.
And I don't want them my personal life as much.
Here is the fact. You have an encrypted file on your computer that proves that you didn't do something.
Right.
Do you give them the key?
Like I said, as a last resort. I would go through everything else to prove what they were doing has nothing to do with me. That this evidence is not me. Where they got there is just useless.
He's going to be released from jail.
Yeah, after his 16 weeks.
Right.
When he gets out in 16 weeks, other charges they have to throw against him, they will.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's say that there aren't other charges pending for you, right? You sit in jail for 16 weeks. Are you going to sit in jail for 16 weeks for that charge? Or are you going to give them the key?
I will probably sit in.
Wow. Would you, Philip?
Not me, brother. No.
Yeah, me neither.
No, hell no. They'd get everything. I would squeal like a fucking pig, dude. I'd give them everything I had.
I mean, that's a pretty ballsy thing to do.
Well,
just to prove a point.
Well, that's just me.
Okay.
You got to think about gang raping in there, too. You know?
Yeah.
This is in the UK. It's a little bit different.
Sure all jails. Well,
a little bit different.
He wasn't really imprisoned or in a jail. It was a young offenders institution.
Yeah. Right, right.
I wonder if they would handle an adult like this.
Yes.
Oh, most definitely. He is an adult. Technically, he's 19 years old. So they're actually being lenient.
So you'd actually get put in jail.
Oh, yeah. Over here, you'd be in jail.
Yeah, but we don't have that law here, so.
We will.
Oh, yes, and we will. That'll be great. I love it.
Well, I think that they did the right thing, and they did what they could. I mean, too bad the dude didn't give them the password or they crack it.
I believe it's incriminating information, and that's why he's not giving it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, why hide it?
Right.
I mean, how many other Joshes are there out there?
Jeez.
You'll be surprised.
Not a single one.
Just ask the internet, and you'll be surprised.
All right, so next topic.
Next topic. The title of this one here is Dan Aykroyd confirms he's in charge of the Ghostbusters 3 script.
Woo-hoo. Ghostbusters 3.
Ghostbusters 3. How many of you guys out there are fans of Ghostbusters 1 and 2?
Fans?
You guys?
Yeah.
You like
them? Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's okay.
All right, well, basically what it says, you know, Bill Murray said that the third Ghostbusters installment was a crock and a myth, and, you know, based upon the talents of these the writers and producers that are supposedly writing the third Ghostbusters, the guys that wrote Year One, I could see where he has failings as far as, you know, these guys are concerned in his mind. But actually now Dan Aykroyd is taking over some of the writing for the movie, and it seems to be shaping up a little bit. So that will be good.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see the Ghostbusters again.
Is it going to be the same characters?
It's going to be the same characters.
Aren't they like ancient now?
That's part of the story, actually.
They are getting older, and you know, basically one of the first original drafts was that Bill Murray was supposed to be dead or something like that.
I don't remember that one.
But you know, now it's like basically the guys are all older, and they're trying to pass it on to a new generation of Ghostbusters, teach them, you know, how to use the equipment and how to do the job and all that kind of stuff. So that's what the story is going to be about.
I think it's cool that it says that the co-writers also working on the script are writers/producers of The Office.
Oh, yes, that is right.
Yeah.
I love that show.
That's the same guys that wrote Year One.
Okay.
So
I didn't like Year One, but I love The Office and hate that it's in its final season.
You know what? I've heard that if you want to get into The Office, you need to watch it from the beginning.
Absolutely.
And just watch it.
Yeah.
But I never have.
I mean, it's very, very dry humor, but if you can follow the storylines, which they're easy to follow, you know, they're not complex. It's hilarious, and I love Steve Carell.
Oh, I love Steve Carell as well. He is absolutely hilarious.
So, Ghostbusters 3 is in writing.
Yes, I have really not much to say about this because it's Ghostbusters 3. Come on.
I think it'll flop like all the other movies that have been put out these days.
Revival of a trilogy type.
Even though, you know, the biggest, most successful one I can think of is the Star Wars, the first three.
The
original
one,
three.
Two and three.
Yeah, episode one,
not
two, and three.
Four, five, and six.
Yeah, because it's a kind of a revamp of Star Wars, you know, several years later.
Right.
So, yes, do you know that they're working on Star Wars 3D?
I did see a commercial for that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go see it.
there's a commercial for it now?
Yeah, there's a commercial for it. Or maybe I saw it on the news or something. I saw it on TV.
Okay.
That's cool. That they were redoing the first three episodes in 3D. Yeah.
Four, five, and six, yeah.
Yeah. No, the first three episodes, episode one, two, and three.
Well, we will find out.
We will.
I don't know.
Well, the first three were the first ones released was 4, 5, and 6.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you're saying that the new ones are the ones.
The first three episodes.
Going to be
released. Episode 1, 2, and 3.
Right, okay.
I mean, I heard that they were going to do all of them, but they're going to start with the first three.
Well, that would make sense considering that's how the story goes.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the story went the other way, but, yeah.
I don't like the 3D. I don't like it. Because it seems like the closer the object gets to you, if it's moving laterally across the screen, it gets all fuzzy and, like, you can see the frames going by.
Oh, right. That is mostly because of the technology they're using.
The projection technology, yeah. I have yet to view an LCD plasma or whatever TV that's 3D.
Yeah, I don't have the money for that yet, so...
I'm not really particularly down on that.
Apparently, they have a display at Best Buy. But every time I walk past, you know, there's no...
Content?
No, there's no glasses.
Oh.
Like, people took them or something.
Well, they are expensive. They're like $100-something per set, so...
Well, if I had a 3D TV, I would totally steal Best Buy's glasses.
Oh, yeah.
I think when you buy the TV, it comes with glasses.
Well, it comes with one. Yeah. It comes with one.
That's enough for me.
Hell yeah.
Like, sorry, guys. You get to watch it in fuzzy 2D.
What I've heard about the 3D is that, you know, you have to see your preferred content type that you like to watch on TV in 3D. If you like to watch sports all the time, then you have to see sports in 3D.
There is an ESPN in 3D.
Yeah,
so
it's a channel.
Yeah.
All right. Ghostbusters 3.
Not in 3D.
I'm not going to watch it.
I am.
You are?
Most likely.
You're that big a fan?
I love Ghostbusters.
Okay.
I watch the original one over and over and over and over and over again.
Which you did a few days ago.
See, I don't know if it's the first one or the second one, but where the painting, the dude in
the
painting.
That's the second one.
Like, that dude freaks me out.
Yeah, just a bit, yeah.
Yeah, he is incredibly creepy.
And with the baby, I don't know. And the ooze, no.
Yeah, it's not Ninja Turtles. Come on. It's freaking Ghostbusters.
All right, so let's get on to a more compelling argument.
Yes, yes. So, the FBI has been raiding certain groups, such as the, what was it? Well, they're very passive anti-war groups. I'm trying to find the name here. Where'd it go? Anyway, all these groups are really passive. They don't really do anything. And the FBI has been labeling them as actual foreign terrorists.
Okay, so slow down for a second. So the FBI is investigating?
Well, in some cases investigating, and in others they were actually raiding their houses and places of operation.
But it's anti-war activists, right?
Yes, but they run rallies and not actually do anything that's damaging other than changing the social mood of the nation. That's really about it.
Okay.
So it's you should have the option to feel the way you want about a certain situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the FBI is trying to squash that.
Well, I mean, this kind of goes back to a story we did previously. What was that guy's name? That was telling everybody not to be so extravagant with their, you know...
John Stewart?
Yeah. It was not... John Stewart was like, he didn't want people to be so extreme with their, you know, political points of view.
Well, because they look crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this kind of follows the same lines, except the fact that the FBI is involved and people's houses are getting ransacked.
Right, exactly. And the reason why the FBI wouldn't actually raid or heavily investigate John Stewart and his group is because they are a public... They have a public face.
Yeah.
And that would look bad, real bad for the FBI. And this just... This right here actually makes the FBI look pretty bad anyway. And they've also recently put a GPS device, supposedly, on a Arab student. Well, actually, he's Egyptian. And he's been living in the United States for... He's a citizen of the United States.
But his father was on the FBI criminal watch list, the anti-terror watch list.
Yes. He was on that.
But his father's dead.
His father's been dead for a while. And they've been investigating his son for connections. I have no idea why. But they have recently taken back the GPS device. Almost aggressively, if you would say. They showed up at his apartment with the flashing lights and the bulletproof vest and saying, hand over the GPS device and this will not get ugly.
And actually put a little fear into his heart, you know, like telling him, hey, we heard you got a new job and nice with that new girlfriend you got.
So they gave him, they were tracking him with the GPS device?
Yes, for 3 months.
So did they plant the GPS device on him?
On his vehicle.
On his vehicle.
And then they wanted it back?
Yeah, they wanted it back after he found out it was in his vehicle.
Oh, okay.
He went to get his oil changed at a local mechanic shop, and he saw a wire hanging from it.
Now, okay.
So they found an antenna and a transmitter.
Under his car.
Yeah.
Basically wired to the exhaust system of his car.
Yeah.
And he posted it online.
Yep.
On Reddit.
Yep.
And people saw it. The FBI found out that they were found out and came for it.
Exactly. And a FBI agent actually at the, see, was it? The West Coast operations, one of the major agents there, actually stated that this device was actually an old model that they don't use anymore. So right now they use models that actually tie into the electrical system of the vehicle.
Yeah.
Now, these two instances just shines awesomely for the FBI. Look at the FBI. We're doing everything to protect you against passive anti-war terrorists and students that actually have nothing to do to you.
Shines so, like a good black eye.
Exactly.
So let's get deeper into the story. So where was this at? Well, that they performed these raids?
Well, this one raid that they are mentioning is the... See, there was one in, I think, Philadelphia.
It says here, Chicago and Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Was raided on Labor Day, 2008 March. Yeah.
So the FBI kicked these people's doors in.
Exactly.
And searched, you know, suspecting them of what? Being terrorists?
That's what they are going...
Just because they are anti-war activists?
Yes. That's what they are saying.
Okay. Did they find anything?
I believe they did not. They just caused a lot of damage and suspicion.
Destroyed some guy's fish tank.
Yeah. Did they have a warrant for this?
Well, just recently, these types of investigations and raids have been found unlawful by, I don't remember which court this was, but they can no longer do this now, supposedly.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't be surprised if, in this case, this was not warranted or was not authorized by the court system due to the time it was.
Yeah. It says here that they're tagging these activists as domestic terrorizers. That's pretty extreme.
Let's go back in history a little bit. Let's see, Nazi Germany. Would this be possibly something similar to the Gestapo and what their dealings are?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you are reading a book there, huh? What does it... Oh, it's in Hebrew.
What is that?
Papers.
Give it to me now.
So, I believe right now, the U.S. government, especially the law enforcement side of it, is walking on a very fine line between fascism-type actions and actually democratic-type actions that we used to.
Yeah, basically they can say, I want to search Ben's house.
Okay, no problem, go ahead.
He is suspected of terrorist activity. The judge doesn't even go, what terrorist activity?
What has he done?
Yeah.
He just says, okay, here's a warrant.
Well, I mean, that's happening a lot these days.
Yeah.
He makes specialized type machinery.
But aren't there a lot more other things that the FBI could be doing rather than investigating terrorists in our own country?
Oh, yes, they could be doing a lot. But the thing is, the FBI has jurisdiction only in the United States.
Yeah.
And they are granted jurisdiction outside.
Well, I'm not saying that they should combat, you know, terrorism. I'm saying that they should focus on, you know, serial killers and, you know, stuff like that that involves our country, you know, and only our country.
Right.
But these particular task groups here, that's their sole purpose
is terrorism.
Well, that's stupid. Why would you have a task force that's jurisdiction is only in your own country when all this terrorism is coming from other countries?
No.
Well, what they're doing, they're looking for terrorists that are homegrown and that have come in to our country for either training, like technical training.
Yeah.
And actually plan on doing something. But in this situation here, this was just going the wrong direction. They're looking at the wrong people.
Right, they're just anti-war activists.
And I wonder how much money this costs to do all these raids and investigations.
Ass loads, I'm sure.
You know what,
all for naught.
We may never find out because the way the government system is right now, they tend to hide things a lot now, so.
Very well.
I think it's funny that, you know, these are ralliers, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. It says no one was arrested, no one was charged with a crime. And days later, what'd they do? They rallied outside the FBI offices.
Exactly.
Right. Basically a big F you.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
Yeah, we have. The FBI has better things to do than this.
Oh, every law enforcement branch, I'm sure, has better things to do than looking for false terrorists.
Yeah. So do we want to move on?
Yes, we should probably move on before the FBI decides to raid us.
Yeah.
Please do.
All right, so the next story we got is, where did I get this? Google News. It's about illegal immigrants and deportations.
All right.
Apparently they're up a lot. It's estimated a record of 392,000 illegal immigrants over the past year, with nearly half of them being people with criminal convictions, were deported. The number deported during the 2010 fiscal year ending in September 30th surpassed the record of 389,000 deportations set the previous year. So that's, 13,000 more in 1 year?
Yeah.
More than 195,000 of those deported were convicted criminals, according to the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. This is good, I think.
Yeah, get those freaking criminals the hell out of here.
The reason why I picked this story is because I'm kind of anti-war. You know, I think that if our troops were here protecting us, that this number would even go up higher. You know, if we could put these, you know, armed men and women on our borders and maybe not necessarily deport them, but prevent them from coming into the United States altogether. It says, Arizona, which is wrestling over a controversial law that requires police to question suspected aliens about their immigration status. That's good. I mean, I think that, I don't think that the state of Arizona should be doing it, though.
Well, you know, the controversy surrounding that particular law is that, you can look like an illegal alien and not.
Well, why not be asked about it?
Why not? Well, I mean, it's an inconvenience, basically, to someone who is a citizen. So you're a citizen of the United States, and let's say you look like a Mexican.
Sure.
I mean, you don't, but you look like an illegal, not just Mexican.
Sure,
an illegal alien, right? And you get pulled over. They ask for your identification. They ask for your papers.
Okay.
This is taking time out of your day as a legal citizen.
I don't see it like that. I mean, I see that I did something wrong, okay? That's why I got pulled over in the first place. And this is just a part of their line of questioning.
But this law, they can pull you over for that. They can pull you over for looking like an illegal alien.
I don't know.
This guy's driving a Pinto.
It doesn't say that.
The Arizona law.
The Arizona law. Allows that they can. It is a first offense.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is part of the law. That's why the law is
okay.
So controversial.
I mean, I believe you.
I understand, but that's one of the things about the law is that they can ask anyone who looks like that if they suspect someone of being an illegal alien, they can ask any question relating to your immigration status.
Okay. I think that's good. I don't know why, but I mean,
it's good and it's bad. It's good because the ones that they do ask that don't have the proper paperwork
are caught.
They're caught, right?
Yeah.
And I agree with that. I there are legal channels to be here. If you want to be here that bad, follow the freaking legal channels and come work here and pay taxes.
Exactly.
You know, and if you don't want to do that, don't come.
Well, Janet Napolitano?
I believe they say Tano.
Napolitano.
Yes.
She is the Homeland Security Secretary. She quoted more convicted criminal aliens than ever before in issuing more financial sanctions on employees who knowingly and repeatedly violate immigration law than during the entire previous administration. That's referring to George Bush administration. Not only are they, you know, questioning just anybody who they think, they're questioning their employers as well. I think that's also a good point.
That is a major point.
Yeah.
Because that's 80% of the reason why they come.
Yeah, because it's the United States revenue. I mean, it's our money. It's we pay taxes on the money. We pay taxes on the people working.
Right.
You know. And if we can crack down on this,
our taxes should not support people who do not pay into the taxes.
Exactly.
So let's say you're a small business owner, all right? And
okay.
Okay. And you have a farm, all right? You're making
sure.
Peppers, okay, all ground right. Peppers. And you need to hire some pickers for the peppers.
Uh-huh.
Who would you go to first? Somebody that wants $5 an hour to pick peppers or someone that wants $3 an hour to pick peppers?
Honestly, in this economy,
mm-hmm.
I would go for the people who do not have a job.
Okay.
I mean, And I would do it legally.
Right.
I mean, I would legally hire people. You know, it's not money under the table to save me a few bucks on the backside.
Well, let's say that you got the cheaper one, the $3 an hour that you're going to pay. You're going to pay them $3 an hour to pick peppers. And they just happen to be illegal. I mean, it's going to save you some money to pay them $3 an hour.
Yeah, but I'm not going to do that. Because I'm not going to hire illegal aliens.
Right.
I don't care if it saves me money.
Okay.
Because, I mean, okay.
I mean, many businesses do this because they need to save the money.
Yes, and I understand that. But don't hire as many people.
Well,
you know,
then you will have crops that go bad.
You'll have efficiency problems.
Exactly. I mean, we are in a situation right
now.
Not
necessarily. I mean, you could work the people that you have harder.
Well, then you're going to have, they're U.S. citizens, they're going to ask for more money.
Well, you pay them overtime.
What if you can't do that?
Well, you don't, you get out there yourself. I don't know. I'm not hiring illegal aliens, though.
I do see your point, and I agree with you that we shouldn't. Yeah. We shouldn't hire illegal aliens.
Right.
That is where it needs, where the line needs to be drawn and where this needs to stop.
Yeah.
Is the people hiring the illegal aliens, because that will stop the problem.
Yes.
It just, right now we have an issue with people not wanting to do the same type of work for the same type of pay.
Yeah.
Americans are spoiled and they don't want to work for minimum wage.
Okay. With that being said, it goes along to say in the story that immigration agents have audited 3,200 employers suspecting of hiring illegal immigrants, debarred 225 companies and individuals, and also levied $50 million in penalties, more than during the entire Bush administration. This is another good point, I think. I mean, so not only are they holding the illegal aliens responsible, they're holding the people who hired them responsible by charging them penalties.
Yeah, which they should. If you think about it, if you're not going to charge or punish the people who are actually hiring the aliens, the illegal ones, then what keeps them from doing it again?
Yeah, so why would I hire somebody that can pick my peppers at $3.75 if I'm going to end up paying for it in the long run if I get caught?
And then no
peppers are going to be picked.
Right.
And I'm going to be owing the government money.
Exactly.
Right. And they'll shut you down while you're being investigated as well. So.
But then you got companies like Monsanto that need stuff to be picked like really quick.
Really quick, really cheap, lots of laborers, remedial laborers.
Exactly. And you're being pressured by Monsanto's headquarters saying, we need you to pick this stuff right now.
I'm going to say Monsanto's headquarters, give me some employees.
Well, they don't handle that. You're the farm owner. You're supposed to handle all that.
They're going to say, we're going to give you...
Oh, my God.
They say, we're going to give you $15,000 for this crop, right? The crop,
okay.
The crop itself is worth 10.
Okay.
To you.
So sure.
You have 10 invested.
All right.
So you have $5,000 that you have to pay out to employees to pick it.
Okay.
And you got it.
And it's 15 freaking acres of... that's not a lot in farm stuff.
Yeah.
150 acres. You're going to hire...
You're going to want to hire
illegal immigrants.
Right.
That's a good way to stand.
Yeah.
That's good.
But this same type of situation...
If the corporation wants to not support me as a farmer or as an employee of them...
Well, you're more of a franchisee.
For the fact that I won't hire... illegal immigrants to get their product to them, they can go fuck themselves. You know, I'll go work for somebody else.
We feel you. We understand that.
Definitely. Unfortunately, the other people, you know...
Yeah.
I mean, I understand this is a huge problem.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that we are... what appears to be taking the right steps to prevent this.
I agree.
Or to combat it. But it also... It goes along to say deportation of convicted criminals were up 70% in 2010 as opposed to 2008. That is awesome.
That's a very high number.
Yes, 70%.
That just proves that we weren't doing such a good job in 2008.
Well, yeah.
Right. Get rid of all the fucking criminals. You know,
they're not.
If they're not here legally and they do something that is also illegal, they should definitely go the fuck home.
We're not benefiting from them, so might as well get rid of them.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I had to say.
Fantastic.
All right.
That was a good story.
Yeah, we're doing great on deportations.
Yes. Let's deport more people.
Even though I wish they would go on to say in here how much it actually cost
to do all that?
Increase this, you know.
Oh, I'm sure
increasing the efforts.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think it's well worth it. I mean, they got $50 million out of the deal in penalties.
Well, we are still in a major deficit budget.
Huge. So we should hire, like, illegal immigrants to do all of the government work, right?
And deportations.
Yeah.
Perfect. We save
hire
money.
Illegal immigrants to deport themselves.
I mean, they're the cheapest ones. They know themselves, right?
Exactly. They know where you're going to hide.
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
GTFO. I'm not hiring illegal
GTFO.
Immigrants.
GTFO. Illegals.
Yeah.
All right. So the next one.
Hold on. I'm going to say something.
Okay.
If there are any illegal immigrants out there, please go the fuck back where you came from.
Or be legal.
Yeah, be legal.
No, don't be legal. I want you to just leave.
Go home.
All of you.
Go home and come back legal if you're going to come back. Pay tax.
Sure.
Pay tax.
I'd prefer you not to come back.
Freaking support the U.S. government.
America's awesome. Next.
Yeah, next story.
Next story of the day.
This is the best story, I think, of them all.
No pain, no spray. Firefighters let home burn. This is about an hour and a half up the street from us.
Yeah.
Gibson County, Tennessee. Firefighters.
Not food fighters. But
no, not. Firefighters in rural Tennessee let a home burn to the ground last week because the homeowner hadn't paid a $75 fee.
And why is there a fee?
The fee is because this is an outside area that is not incorporated into their township.
Okay.
So they're technically not paying taxes to support this fire department.
Correctly.
Because they are outside. So in order for the fire department to operate in their area, they have to pay a $75 fee a year.
Right.
Right. You pay $75 a year and the fire department will service their area because, like I said, they don't pay taxes to support this fire department. This is not their fire department.
Right.
Because they don't have one.
Yeah.
Right. So the fire department shows up finally after the neighbor's house starts burning down because the neighbor paid a $75 fee.
Right.
And they sat there and they watched the house burn down because that is their job.
Whose house?
The person who did not pay the fee.
Okay.
They sat there and watched
Gene Kranick.
Yes, Mr. Kranick. Who
said? That's O'Brien County, sorry.
I'm sorry. My bad. He said,
sorry, people in Gibson.
We wasn't on their list because they didn't pay the fee.
Right.
We pay it every year late is basically what he said. I mean, we normally forget about it for a while and then we'll eventually pay it. But this year they forgot to pay. This policy is 20 years old at least.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So this is something that they know is going to happen. They know that the fire department will not put out the fire if they don't pay the fee. So, I mean, how do you feel about this?
Okay, I have a couple questions about this. Okay. I wonder if they were notified about non-payment.
I'm sure.
Well, I don't know.
You're
sometimes
the fire department sent them a notice that says
it sounds like it's optional.
Well, see.
It is.
So if it's optional,
you may not
pay. They might not tell you you didn't pay it.
Right.
They just assume that
I imagine they did.
But here's the funny thing about that. This township area was they voted on an amendment to make it mandatory part of their taxes to pay this $75 to support, to build it into their taxes.
Like 20 years ago.
No. They voted no. Every time it's come up, they voted no.
Yeah. Well, those are the people who are voting, and not everybody votes, as you know.
Well, that's true, but just pay the damn $75. If you're
right.
If your township votes no to have it included in their taxes, then you need to pay the damn.
Okay. Money. Continuing on my questioning, was there anyone hurt in the fire?
There were
dogs and cats.
Dogs and cats.
Okay,
died.
So no one hurt.
No.
How did the fire start?
I believe there was a the grandson
trash.
Was burning trash near the house, and it got out of control. And they called 911, and the fire department said, we're not coming out.
So it wasn't like a lightning strike?
No.
It was not an act of God.
No, it was something someone did.
All right. Well, the reason why I asked that is because those questions, I think that if they went the other way, that the fire department might have put the fires out.
You mean
like
if
someone was in danger, or if... If the lightning struck the house and it wasn't caused by someone who was there, it wasn't intentionally... The first start of the fire was not intentionally lit.
Well, they do have like a type of Hippocratic Oath, I believe, is what they call it. Yeah. I'm not sure for firefighters if it's called that.
A fireman oath.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a hospital.
Right. You do no harm, right? So if somebody's being hurt, then you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of your job to help them or to save them. But they knew, they asked, and there was everyone, all of the people were out safe. So they have no moral obligation.
But what I find kind of weird is there's a sentence in here that says, Kranich says he told the operator he would pay whatever is necessary to have the fire put out. And they still said no.
Okay.
You know, if
he was willing to pay.
If Kranich was like, look, I'll pay for, you know, the fireman's salary for that couple hours it takes him to put it out. I'll pay for the gas for the fire truck. I'll pay for the water. Whatever it takes is whatever it takes.
But see, here's the thing about that. The fire truck's not running around with a contract on it that says, hey, you didn't pay your money, so check this out. We're going to bill you this. While the house is burning, they're going to fill out a form that says, you had to pay this for the fireman, you had to pay this for the gas, you had to pay this for this, and then you had to sign it, right?
Do they do that in the hospital?
But even if you sign it,
yeah.
Who's to say you're going to pay for it?
Wait, but do they do that in the hospital? Let's say you got your leg blown off and they send you to the hospital. Do they have to go through that same process for you?
Yeah, they do. I mean, I don't
know
if they have to.
Right there on the spot.
I mean,
you get a bill afterwards.
Right.
Well, I mean, but it's compiled at the point because, I mean, you know, they got to know something's going on.
Everyone knows that a hospital works that they will treat you first and bill you later.
Right.
Right? This is the fire department.
They don't put out fires first and bill you later?
Do we know? I mean, is this a standard operating? This is not a standard operating procedure. Because where fire departments exist, generally the taxes cover it, so it's not something that we have to think about. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, there's no obligation for this man to pay the money. He could tell them he's going to pay the money all day. And at that point, it's an oral contract. And if they bill him afterwards, that's after the fact. So therefore, he doesn't necessarily stand...
Okay, I see your point.
He doesn't have to stand and be held to that.
I see your point.
But they could write up a contract right then and there that he will pay whatever amount they bill him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm sure he would have signed it.
He would have signed it. But are they going to have to sue him for his house anyways to get the money?
Don't know.
Right, they don't know. That's the problem here. They know taxes are going to pay for the stuff. They know the $75 pays for the stuff. So, you don't know if he's going to pay the other stuff.
Okay. Harold Schadesberger, I guess is his name. He is the president for the International Association of Firefighters. He said that this was incredibly irresponsible. He believes that professional career firefighters shouldn't be forced to check a list before running out the door to see which homeowners paid up. Doesn't that mean something coming from the president of the International Association of Firefighters?
It may be that the policy itself is irresponsible, that you don't pay the money, we don't put the fire out. The policy itself is irresponsible, but the firemen, they were doing what they were supposed to do.
They were following policy.
Right, they were following policy.
Not necessarily being firemen.
Yeah.
They're being bureaucrats.
No one was hurt.
They were being
I'm not saying anything about hurt.
They were
being firemen are there to put out fires.
They were being employees, not do-gooders.
Right.
Like police and firefighters.
Well, they are firefighters technically.
Well, that's how we see them.
EMTs.
Right. I mean, if you walk up to a firefighter and ask him, why are you a firefighter? They're not going to say for the money.
Except in Vegas, they might actually say that. Because they get paid a large amount of money.
Well, I mean, they're not going to say that. They're going to say that they're out there to protect and prevent fires from hurting people. And property.
Right. Well, they're not necessarily concerned with the property, but they are concerned.
Not as much. But
they are, because insurance. You know?
Yeah.
But the people... Definitely, they were concerned about the people. There's nothing in here that says they went up and said, oh, your daughter's in the house? Well, I don't give a shit. I'm not going to put the fire out because you didn't pay the money.
Right.
You know, so they did exactly what they were supposed to do.
The people didn't
pay
the
policy.
Money. Per policy. Maybe the policy will change. Maybe the next time that this goes to vote for it to be built into their taxes, they'll vote yes.
Right. Which would be a good thing.
Which would be a good thing.
Yeah.
But at this point...
But then nobody pays.
I don't see... Well, they do pay.
They're paying taxes.
They're paying taxes.
Yeah.
So... You can't let... If you go and set a precedent that someone can pay after the fact, that can pay the money after
right.
the fact, they lose all of the money that the other people would have paid because nobody will pay before.
Yeah.
They will only pay when it happens. So when there is a fire in that small little area... Nobody else pays money, just the person whose house burnt down. Then they lost all of that other revenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it says, Kranick, who is now living in a trailer on his property, says his insurance policy will help cover some of his lost home. He quotes, "Insurance is going to pay for what money I had on the policy, looks like. But like everything else, I didn't have enough."
Well, that's insurance, and that's...
So, I mean, he's getting some coverage.
Right. I mean, you know, there's always personal things that have more monetary value to you in your mind
yeah.
than it would to someone else. So, he did have coverage. I doubt the fireman asked him if he had insurance, you know.
Right.
But, I don't know. I mean, I'm very torn on this issue. Because
I mean, put yourself in dude's situation.
As a person, if this house was burning down, okay,
yeah.
as a person...
And
if
you had to pay a $75 fee.
And I forgot
yeah.
to pay it.
Yeah.
Of course I would want them to... Who wouldn't want them to put it out? But
okay.
at some point, you have to understand that there was a personal liability in there that you failed to meet. Okay?
Right.
It's gonna hurt. It's
yeah.
gonna be painful. It's and it will probably be something you will never do again. But this comes down to a personal responsibility that this guy, he didn't do it. And he gambled, basically. There was a statement in another story. Well, it's the same story, but another place where the guy basically said, we figured that if they had to come out, they would put it out, even if we didn't pay it. You know?
Yeah.
So he gambled.
Yeah.
And he lost his house.
Well, I still want to know if there was ever any notice of non-payment issued.
That would be something nice to know.
Yeah. Because if there wasn't, that's something that needs to be addressed if this policy stays in place.
Right, I agree with that. Like, hey, you didn't pay your money. Are you absolutely sure you don't want to? Because
exactly.
this means that your house
exactly.
can burn to the ground and
yep.
we don't have to do it.
Next time, this guy should actually put up a specialized water pump into his water system so he could actually put out fires for himself and just forget the fire department.
Everyone be
yeah.
quiet for just a minute and listen to those crickets.
Yes, the crickets.
So you're saying that the firefighters did the right thing?
Maybe not morally.
Well, yeah, I'm not asking you morally.
But as far as their job was concerned, they did
yeah.
the right thing.
Okay. Josh, do you think the firefighters did the right thing?
I believe they followed policy, but they probably should have been more firefighters than employees.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of that way, too. I mean, I think...
Of course, we know. We have been through...
I mean, I know this part of the state. You know, it's right up the road. There's not a lot of people there. There's not a lot of things going on.
Right.
It's a small part of the state.
Definitely.
And, you know, people kind of like around here. You know, it's like around here, except they don't live as close to Memphis as we do. You know? And everybody out here pretty much looks at each other as family. You know your neighbors.
You look
out
for
each
other.
You know your neighbors' neighbors. And you would do anything for them. And I think that if this guy was like on hands and knees saying that he would pay, you know, whatever it would take, do whatever he could, if you just put this fire out, that the firefighters should then take it on their shoulders to put the fire out.
So you take his word for it that the money's going to get paid?
I wouldn't care. I mean, I'd be like, look, I would not want this to happen to me, So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
It shouldn't be the fireman's responsibility to care about the money. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Because they're getting paid regardless.
Right. But, you know, due to these policies, they do have to.
I think it's bullshit.
Well, they should have a certain fund for these odd occurrences. Okay? If they didn't set that up, they're idiots.
Then the town needs to pay $90 a year. That way it'll cover somebody who didn't pay.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the case, and that's the case.
Well, morally it was wrong, because I personally couldn't stand and watch someone's house burn down. If I were a fireman, I would have had to have done something.
Yeah.
But they did what they were supposed to do business-wise. And it sucks to think of a fire station run as a business.
Yeah.
Well, it really isn't, but... Yeah.
Did you read on in the story? After the blaze, South Fulton's police arrested one of Kranich's sons, Timothy Allen Kranich, on assault charge, according to the WPSD-TV on NBC station in Paducah, Kentucky. Police told WPSD that the younger Kranich was, he actually attacked a fire chief.
At the firehouse because he was upset.
Yeah. His father's house was allowed to burn down.
Yeah. I mean, it's justified.
Right. Now, they should let him go. That's an emotional thing.
They should be like, oh, okay.
Like an attaboy.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, okay, chill, move along.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why he assaulted the guy. You know, this was my house, this is my family, why did you let this happen?
Yeah.
Let him go.
And I wonder if the fire chief, you know, knew about it.
Well, I'm pretty sure he knew.
Like at the time, though.
Well, he would have to.
At the time of the incident, at the time of the fire, you know, was it late at night? Was it early in the morning? You know, the fire chief can't stay up 24/7.
This is probably mid afternoon, and they rotate anyway, so. Yeah. This one may not actually have known this whole thing, but I don't know exactly how they have their fire department set up over there.
Yeah. So well, I wonder if the fire chief could have convened and said, hey, I want you to put this fire out. I don't care if they paid $75.
He probably could have.
He's a chief. He can send out an engine there regardless.
Yeah.
This is the only situation that I have ever agreed with Glenn Beck on, and this will be the only one ever. And
until
I don't
your house catches on fire.
I don't wholeheartedly agree with him. I pay taxes, brother.
Yeah.
You know, but I agree with him on this issue, but I do not agree with the fact that he actually mocked this family on his radio show.
Really?
Yes, he did do a fair amount of mockery.
What did he do?
His assistant did an impression of the guy's voice and made him sound country and stupid while he was, you know, basically saying exactly the same things I said, except like a dickhead.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Beck, that's very dickheadish, and you shouldn't do those kinds of things.
I'm going to set your house on fire, Glenn Beck.
Ooh, that's...
And I will deny the fire department to put it out.
I will stop the fire department from putting them out.
Yeah. Don't make fun of our brothers out here.
No.
That's just shitty.
We're just good old country folk.
That's right.
You're welcome to my house anytime.
Oh, and we're way smarter than you think, so don't even start that shit.
All right, I guess that's it.
That's it. I think that's all the stories we had this evening.
That is it.
We wish Josh good luck on his trip out of town this
weekend. Yeah, where are you going, Josh?
I will not say.
Okay. he's going out of town
very
somewhere.
Very privacy.
No stalkers, please.
Yeah, no
exactly.
Stalkers.
I understand privacy because I have done research all about it. So I know a lot of things that the government actually does.
Are you hiding something?
No. Nope.
Because, I mean, you don't want people on your computer. You don't want people know where you're going. You don't want people... You don't want me to tell your last name right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I could. I could just blurt it out right now.
Yeah, Thompson. Yeah. I mean,
And, like, just describe your looks and your age and what you drive and where you live. I mean, I could put it out there right now.
Yeah, you could.
You going to stop me? All right, I guess that's the end of the show, guys.
All right. Everybody, please comment. Let us know how we're doing.
Yep.
You know, if we sound like shit, please let us know.
Please.
Yes, please.
And we'll talk to you next time.
All right, see you on the sixth episode.
Signing off.